All right. Well, I was going to start a teaching on healing of the soul, and I've also called it restoring the soul. So it's kind of been both. But as I saw this little thing I had written sitting in one of the services on Sunday, and not this Sunday, but one time when Pastor Kevin was teaching, and I wrote it down because I thought it was really good. And I actually, I guess, stuck it in this because it has something to do with the soul. So I wanted to read it. So as they're just finishing up there, let's just pray, okay? Hallelujah. Father, Holy Spirit, we just invite your presence into this room, precious Holy Spirit. And God, we just ask, God, that you would just move and have your way, and Holy Spirit, that you would just reach out to every individual. Show them, God, how to lay hold of their healing, God. I ask, God, that there be people that will be restored in this teaching, specifically, God, that areas of their life that are broken, that, Lord, they'll be restored and brought back into place and brought back together. Holy Spirit, God, we just give this time. Lord, you are the teacher. And Lord, what you do with when it comes to healing and restoring the soul, only you can do that, Lord. So Holy Spirit, I ask God right now that you would just hover over this entire room and touch every life, every soul. Reveal to them the areas of brokenness in their lives. Reveal to them the roots of dysfunction, God, and their source, that, God, these things might be exposed and brought to the surface, and that your people will be healed and can worship you with a whole heart, but and not a fragmented heart, God. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We believe you for that, and we receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, I've got lots of stuff I wanted to share, and I did not realize I have this teaching in three different manuals that I've done. And it's because I've taken parts from all the different areas of people's lives and tried to put something together, but the reason I brought my rose tonight is I wanted to show you something, because I'm going to be talking and explaining to you what a fragmented soul is or a broken heart, okay? They're all in the same. And all of the different arenas that people can deal with in these areas, okay? And when it comes to dealing with the soul, the world has diagnosed it, the brokenness, for years and years and years, and the church has ignored it. And Jesus heals it. Amen. Okay? I always like to say it that way, because the world has put their finger on it and they understand it. And the church, we just say, nah, that can't be so, but it is very so. But we only Jesus can heal it. And you could go to a psychiatrist, a psychologist, and they can drug you, they can medicate it, but they can't heal it. But Jesus heals it. Amen. Okay? So if you'll set yourself over the next few weeks to let the Holy Spirit reveal to you, okay? This is something that we've got to start doing in the body of Christ, is that you have got to take responsibility for your healing. Right. You have got to, for your deliverance and your freedom. It is not about whether I can pray a prayer over you and get you delivered or get you healed. It's when you make a decision that, Lord, these deficits in my life are not going to be here anymore. You know, when I first became a believer, and I'm still just as bad, and I've been a believer for, let me think, 37, 38 years. But you couldn't keep me out of church. And if I even had an inkling that there was a teaching going on where they had some answers for me, you better believe I was there. Because I guess maybe I needed a whole lot of answers. But that's how I learned how to lay hold of healing. Okay? So if you want healing, you know, you need to start pressing in, just like the woman with the issue of blood. What did she do? She pressed in until she got it. And so she got wholeness in her life. And it's the same way with every one of us here, that when we will press in, we're going to get wholeness in our lives. And then we're going to be able to function like God wants us to do. And I was reading a scripture today that actually wasn't part of my lesson. But as I read it, I was reading what I wanted to read, but then I read down through and got some more stuff beyond what I was looking for. So let me just read this to you. I think it's think this is it. Let's see. It's not. So hold on. I think it's back a few pages. Yep. I was reading in Ezekiel 13, and I'm going to show you that where it talks about the soul being broken. But in Ezekiel 14, it says, "Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put stumbling blocks of their iniquity and guilt before my face. Every man of the house of Israel who takes his idols of self-will," idols, this is what God is calling an idol, "self-will, unsubmissiveness, iniquity, idols of silver, idols of gold, those who have put those before his face, I will require of him. I, the Lord, I will answer him and answer him accordingly to the multitude of his idols." And I was thinking about that. Idols, and idols can be what? You know, they could be if you got cancer and all you do is spend your time finding remedy to cancer, and all of a sudden, cancer has all of your attention. Okay? That cancer has become an idol or a god to you, all right? Anything that we put before God becomes an idol, all right? If you have lack financially and all you do is worry about your finances and you're always sitting and trying to calculate and you're doing this and you're doing that, and finances have become your god. It's an idol, you see? If you walk in rebellion, whatever, if it's another person and your all your attention is on this person, or if you have had some breakups in your life and all you can think about is that person, that person, that person, that person, you've just developed an idol. Because Jesus is still our answer. He's our healer. He's our deliverer. Not all these things that the devil tries to bring up before us as problems and issues. Okay, we think only that idols are like the gold and the silver or the new car, the new house. But you know what? If all you do is spend your time fretting and fuming over something that's happened in your life and you cannot get your focus on the Lord, who is your answer to all those situations. But see, if you can keep your focus on the problem, you don't go to the problem solver. You see? So therefore, that becomes an idol to you. So my encouragement to you is to get your eyes off yourself and all your problems, and look to the healer. And say, Lord, I mean, and it's, I'm not telling you to ignore problems. I am telling you simply this. Jesus is the answer. So if you catch yourself focusing more and more and more on the issues instead of him, then that has become an idol. So I just thought that was really interesting when it said, your idol of self-will and unsubmissiveness. That's some heavy words, isn't it? Okay, so I brought the rose tonight, and years ago when I was teaching, I had this lady come who was speaking we had a couple classes at Christian Life. One was for the girls, one was for the guys, but on girls keeping themselves pure and guys keeping themselves pure until marriage. Okay, so I had this lady come in, and she was teaching some really good stuff on that to the girls, but she brought a rose, and mine is kind of dilapidated. Because it's 2 weeks old, I guess. I knew it was old, but I didn't throw them away till today, though, because they've been so pretty. But anyway, she passed this rose around to the girls, and she said, I want each one of you to take a petal. And each one of them took a petal, and they all passed it around until everyone had a petal, and all of a sudden there was nothing left. And she said, well, that's what happens to you when you pass yourself out to one guy after another. All of a sudden there's nothing left of you. And that's true. Okay? And so when we talk about soul restoration tonight, we're going to bring that up because you give your soul to whoever you get involved in those areas too. And so when parts of our life have been tied to wrong people, tied to situations or whatever, and it's not that God doesn't forgive you, okay? Don't receive any condemnation from what I'm teaching you. I'm teaching you some remedy according to the word. Okay, which is, why do you think God tells us to not do certain things? The Bible says because he's jealous over us. He watches over us because he wants the best. Why do you think you as parents would tell your children to not go out and have sex before marriage? Because you want the best for them. It's not like you're wanting to point out, you little sinner, if you do this, you know, it's not, okay? So that's not what I'm doing. I am showing you some answers tonight, and if you'll open up your heart to receive them and over the next weeks, okay? So what I'm going to talk about is how the soul can become fragmented. And this is what I've experienced in life with a lot of people I've ministered to and different things that have happened to them, okay? So when a person becomes involved, like maybe with a wrong person, and you give a part of yourself to that, then because it's a part of your soul, your life, so you will lose a part of your soul, and that part is kind of just over there, okay? And your soul can fragment and break from traumatic situations. Say you had an accident maybe, and that happened over there. Or say maybe you went through some abuse, and you were fragmented there. Or maybe some ritual abuse. And we're going to talk about ritual abuse, because there's people in this church that have been ritually abused. The church needs to quit ignoring that. So that would be lots of brokenness. Lots of brokenness. So parts of their souls have been broken. Sexual abuse, physical abuse. Do you know if you're harsh to your children as they're growing up? Most of us had harsh parents. But do you know there's parts of their lives that have been dealt by parents that are so harsh that that can tend to, especially with the if you have a child who's really sensitive, that a part of their little soul fragments, okay? And there's different degrees of fragmenting, okay? The occult, if you dabble in the occult, that can fragment your soul. And that's a serious thing. And we think, well, I'm not going out to a coven and da-da-da-da-da. But what about some of the movies, horror movies, fear? Do you think fear fragments you? We just got done listening. It sure does. How many of you can... You identified, and I know you did, with that teaching, and how some of you are dealing with fear, you're locked up in fear. That's because that part, you've come into captivity, your soul came into captivity to that particular thing, all right? How about fantasy? You know, fantasy's a biggie. When we sit and we fantasize and on reality, you leave your soul where you're always, you know, always going back to that place to keep thinking, to keep meditating on fantasy, whether, you see what I'm saying? So all of a sudden, you keep giving away parts of your life, and I'm not going to break up the whole rose here, but, you know, because eventually, okay, let's go up from this point. All of a sudden, here's me now, are you, and there's still me here. This is my core, the core of me, but all these parts of my life have been left someplace. And you might not have this many pieces out there, but you, what if you got one or two or three? You still are now operating from wholeness, all right? And that lack of wholeness can give you a vulnerability in your life. And I'm going to explain to you a little bit about the fragmenting and the breaking of the soul so you understand how that can. So you can be operating from here, but you're always operating at a deficit. Now, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You always feel like, problems never go away. There's always dysfunction, always things operating. And it's because of that. Now, God will help us to go around and gather up. I'm not going to pick all these pieces up tonight, or I will later, but right now. But he will take every part of our lives and bring them back, each part. And he puts them into the exact order and alignment and perfection that he in the beginning created them to be in. You see? So that's what I want you to see is that as we do this teaching tonight, and I'm going to give you examples even from my own life, that as I studied this, I found out I was fragmented in some areas of my life. And it actually came out of harshness from my father growing up. That's where it came out of, because I was wounded by him a lot as a child. He was not a very nice person. He was mean. He was very... It just was not nice at all. And I was the one child that probably had 7 siblings, and I was the one that stayed away from him the most because I didn't want to be the object of his wrath all the time. He was an alcoholic, okay? But as I grew up then, I started dealing with some of those issues in my life. See, and so I say this for two reasons. Is that if you've been raised in a real harsh family, there's probably some real hurt and woundedness that may need to be dealt with. And some of you might think, well, you've dealt with a lot of it, and you probably have. But even one of the things I dealt with it probably about 4 years ago. And I've been doing deliverance for probably 15. But the Holy Spirit brings up certain things and areas, you know. When God told Israel to go in and take back the land, he told them to take it back progressively. And that's kind of what we do with our lives. We take it back progressively, all right? But I want you, I tell you this because I want you to position yourself and set yourself to receive the healing that God has for you. The Bible says that he is the healer of the brokenhearted. And so if he's the healer of the brokenhearted, what does that mean? It does not mean that he is talking about your physical heart. He is talking about your mind, your will, your emotions. It's your personality. Because our personality can be fragmented and can be broken. Now, this is what I told you about in the very beginning, that the world system, psychiatrists and psychologists have acknowledged this for years. You could give them, any of them, words on fragmenting, brokenness, alters, whatever, I don't know, there's more names than that. Dissociated disorder, okay, DID, that kind of stuff. And they diagnose it, they understand it, they know it's a brokenness in a person. They can't cure it. They can give you some kind of medication to medicate you, so it's not as huge, but it never cures it and people never get past it. The church has ignored it, but Jesus heals it, and that's what he means. I'm the healer of the brokenhearted. So I'm going to kind of jump around a little bit tonight, but one thing Pastor Kevin said a few years, or I don't know when he taught this, but I wrote it down, and no matter where your soul is, now when tonight, when I'm talking to some of you and over the next weeks, I'm going to put my finger on specifics with you. And there's going to be things that I'm going to say that you're going to feel, oh my goodness, she said that right to me. And I will say it right to you because it'll be the Holy Spirit putting his finger on certain areas in your lives, okay? So this one could even work for any of us, if not all of us. But he says, and on this is what Pastor Kevin said, and so I wrote it down. He said that an unsatisfied soul wanders. The soul will seek satisfaction if it is not finding its satisfaction in God. That's heavy, isn't it? The soul, an unsatisfied soul wanders. So if we're looking for satisfaction, again, anything but Jesus, then it has a tendency for us to either fantasize, go off into other areas, think about things, think about even our problems. Are you spending more time on your problems than having joy in your life, peace in your life? You see what I'm saying? And that's because your focus is on your problem, on your mountain, all right? So an unsatisfied soul wanders. It's always looking for answers. There's only one answer, so you're never going to find it. And then he also said that our souls are restless without relationship with Jesus. You have made yourself, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless without you. So the only way we're going to rest and have real rest is in Jesus, you see? So if you're dealing with that, there's restlessness, there's some reasons for that. But let me call you back into accountability. You're required to deal with it.
That's right.
So deal with it, okay? If you got hurt and woundedness, let's deal with it. Instead of, well, whining. I said that so nice. Self-pity. See what I'm saying? Self-pity, sticky glue of hell. Okay? We've got to move forward and lay hold of what God has for us. And I want to be whole. Okay? So I'm going to just kind of start with some stuff on traumas. And I think you're going to find it really, really interesting, some of the things that I've got to share with you. Some of them I share from medical science. I've done a lot of research and a lot of study in this. I actually sat here one time and I was teaching on walking out of captivity, which is real similar to this. It's where the soul can get locked up into certain areas of our lives. But I had a girl who studied psychology and she said, oh my goodness, Bev, everything you're saying is exactly right. It was in all of our books. Well, God had this in the Bible for years and years and years, and the church has just read over it and over it and over it. Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about triggering mechanisms. And triggering mechanisms could be anything from things that trigger in maybe the SRA, satanic ritual abuse, or everybody has triggers. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay? I'm just going to give you one. I'm going to tell on us a little bit. When we first got married, my husband was like really, really harsh. Really, really harsh. And he was always harsh with me. Okay? And I couldn't do this right. and I couldn't do that right, and I couldn't do this right, and I couldn't, see, I'm telling on Lou. See, one of these days he's going to have to get up and tell on me, but anyway, he would, like, drive me nuts. I mean, just like, ugh, you know, and I'm not a lay down, let anybody walk all over me kind of person, but I was young, and so I put up with him just because I loved him so much. I love him more now, but anyway, so when we finally found Jesus and got past those things, I still would trigger at his harshness if he was harsh, okay? So it has taken, and it really did take me some time to be able to, everything he said, not trigger to it, because that was there, because it had wounded me back then. You see what I'm saying? And so he's the greatest guy, let me just tell you that. Because he's a godly man, and I honestly tell you that, my husband has taken the word of God, and he's lived it. And he's taken, amen, you can give him a, yeah, amen. He's such a good guy that actually, I even said, he takes care of me, he helps me with everything, and he's kind. But see, we had to get the Tucker demon out of him, and then after, that's another story, but... Anyway, we'll keep going here. But this is what I'm talking about with triggering mechanisms, okay? Doesn't have to be something severe, okay? It can be things even from your past. Maybe smells, maybe certain things, songs that you think about that take you back to a bad relationship or take you back to maybe when you were out doing drugs or whatever and you feel those triggers. And sometimes, if you've not gotten set free, you feel the pull to pull you back, okay? Sometimes it's not a pull to pull you back. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's hurting and wounding, but it doesn't make a difference, okay? So, and anyway, just to throw in some balance in there, one day the Lord told me, you know what? He said, you need to give him a chance to change. See, and when people try to change, you need to give him a chance to change, okay? God corrects us all the time, honey. Triggering mechanisms, okay. So we all know when our buttons, so to speak, are being pushed by people, words, gestures, tones, voices, they're automatic, involuntary, and this, I want you to get this, involuntary reactions to circumstances or people, which evoke memories and past experiences, could be rejection, could be betrayal, could be abandonment, shame, abuse, whatever, okay? There was years that I would trigger over things that my father, I used to be really intimidated by men. And I really believe it was because he was such an intimidating person. And when you're little, that can be real intimidating to you. You see what I'm saying? So things that happen in our past can provoke a trigger. But if there's a trigger, that means something in there is locked up that's never been resolved in your life yet. Okay? And when I'm telling you this, pray and start saying, Lord, show me over the next few weeks. Because I was doing this teaching and I prayed, you know what? We did corporate deliverance last week. And you know how God can, the Holy Ghost can just cast demons out all over the whole room. Okay? Well, the Holy Spirit can also go over this whole room and deal with every single one of you individually and heal your hurts. And heal your brokenness, and heal your woundedness, all right? So get ready. That's all it takes. You set yourself before God and say, oh, God, okay, God, I'm going to position myself to get healing. And he may need to expose some of those things to you too, because we have a tendency where we've repressed, locked them down, and some of them we've gone beyond past them, and we don't even remember them till the Holy Spirit brings them back. But when he brings them back, it's to help us get freedom from them and healing from them, okay? So things like rejection, betrayal, abandonment, shame, abuses, these are all neurologically linked. Therefore, they have to be diffused supernaturally because they, and I'm going to get into the brain and how that affects our brain and where these things can get locked up, traumas and such in the brain. So, make sure I got my right book I wanted to start with. Okay, we are going to explore the background of trauma. And basically, trauma is a root behind all of these things, okay? If you've been abused in any way that affects, it's like a traumatic thing to your emotions, okay? Not just your physical body. We think of trauma just for the physical body, but trauma affects your emotions. It affects every area of your life, okay? So we're going to look at how it occurs, where it resides in us, and what remedy is needed to cure it, which will prepare us then to receive the ministry that the Holy Spirit wants to do here in removing the trauma and the damage that it's done to your soul. I want to read you a scripture in Ezekiel, which I thought was really interesting. And I actually found this scripture years and years ago, but now this here is talking about witchcraft, but it doesn't have to be witchcraft that fragments and breaks your soul, that breaks your heart, okay, the brokenhearted. But it talks here in verse 18, and it says, "Thus says the Lord God, woe to the women," that would be like the witches, "who sew pillows to the all armholes, and they fasten magic and protective charms to all the wrists and deceptive veils upon the heads of those of every stature, and so they can hunt and capture souls." So this is something specifically done to hunt and capture. Ezekiel 13, verse 18. They use protective charms, magic on their wrists, deceptive veils, that they may hunt and capture human souls. Then verse 19, "You have profaned me among my people in payment for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, slaying persons who should not die and giving a guarantee of life to those who should not live by your lying to my people." Verse 20, "Therefore says the Lord, behold, I am against your pillows, your charms, your veils, which you have used to snare human souls like birds. And I will tear them from your arms, and I will let the lives or the souls that you have hunted go free." Isn't that cool? But I ministered to a young man one time who had real anger issues. And when we went to pray for him, he talked about the fact that he had looked into these black cauldrons for years. He had dabbled in witchcraft, dabbled in the occult, and he actually, I don't know why they do that, but you know, it was just a black cauldron, and he would look into that. Well, as he looked into that, not knowing, I mean, the occult will fascinate people, and that's why that's not one fascination you need, let me guarantee you that, okay, because it will break your soul. So he would look into that black cauldron, and when we went to pray for him, Lou and I, this is what he said, because he was so tired of the anger. And he said, "I can see myself, and I'm standing way, way up in the darkness, way up out there in the atmosphere." He could see himself standing. So then when he shared with us the fact of being looking at these cauldrons, we broke off of him all the holds and the ties that these things had. We began to sever them. And then we commanded his soul to be released. The part of his soul that he had lost looking into these cauldrons, we commanded that part of his soul to be released. And then we asked angels to go and get that part of his soul and bring it back to him. And then asked the Holy Spirit to reintegrate it, okay, and grow him up. And do you know, literally from that day on, he was healed and never dealt with that. You see, so the thing of it is that might sound weird, but it's not, and I know there's people here that know, as I'm talking about this, exactly what I'm talking about. These things are real. And so sometimes I think we get so comfortable in church that we forget that all these, in fact, we have a lot of these people actually come into our church looking for help. And so that's how I kind of know about them. But if we don't minister to them, who's going to minister to them? Because only Jesus can heal them, and that's who we represent, isn't it? All right? Okay, so that might even help you in the fact of if you live with people who are very dysfunctional, there's probably some reasons for dysfunction in their lives. Okay, an injury to the mind or the soul is similar to one in the body. The body or the mind, when hit from an outside force that's sufficient enough to injure, will cause the skin or the bones to lacerate or break, but also will or can cause the soul to crack, break, or fragment. So let me say that again. If a person is traumatized, even from a real severe accident, we'll see that the body may break, like an arm be broken or whatever, but the soul can also be broken from that hit that they just took, all right? And so a lot of times, this sounds so crazy, but it happens. People's souls can even be locked up in the place where that accident happened. And we have the authority to go in and release the souls in the name of Jesus. We have authority. Guys, this authority we've been given by Jesus Christ is huge. And let me read you another scripture. I love this. You're going to hear me read it probably quite a bit, a few through here. And then I'm going to actually give you some other translations of it. But it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me, the Messiah, to preach the good news. He has sent me to announce release to the captive." So that's what I'm here to announce, is release to those who are in captivity, recovery of sight to the blind, those who are blinded by whatever has gone on in your life, to send forth delivered those who are oppressed, downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. And boy, I'll tell you what, that is all deliverance stuff. It's all breaking of the soul. A person's soul, and I just keep feeling like I need to go over this, is your mind, your will, your emotions, your personality. So say this is the best way I look at it to describe it. Say this is your soul. And say that this soul then is traumatized. And I gave you some different ways that it could be. Do you know drugs? When you hallucinate, even on marijuana, if you hallucinate and trip out, if you trip out, how did you trip out? But that you broke something to trip out. Duh. You see what I'm saying? And these people who trip out on drugs see all sorts of things. And they're not just crazy. They have entered into the spirit realm and they're seeing things. And you hear the same stories over and over and over, okay? So it could be trauma of any sort, plus abuses of any sort, all right? And I'm going to give you medical statistics on some of this stuff. But here's your soul. And say it suffers whatever. It could be the drugs. It could be the alcohol. It could be marital abuse. We've seen it happen in marriages. It could be a child having been abused, whatever. But that soul is so hit so hard that it breaks. So here I still have my core personality, but this part that broke off is still a part of the personality. And it's still in there. And it still has all the feelings, all the emotions that the soul has, but because it's been wounded, it is also vulnerable to demonization, and it does get that way. That's why you have to involve deliverance to call these things off of that person. Then maybe say because they broke, that some other trauma held, or maybe it would be like another tripping out on acid or whatever, or it could be maybe abuse. And the child disassociates because of some type of abuse. So we have another break. So I got one here, I got one here, and it goes on until you could have even three, four. Some of them even go beyond that when you're dealing with ritual abuse. Okay? So there you have this brokenness, and you have the core now. The core is very vulnerable too because it's not as strong because the wholeness has been broken. So literally, you deal with the parts. And the people know what they're talking about when they come and they tell you some stuff. And so you deal with those, you walk them through deliverance, and then you ask Jesus to heal them, to reintegrate them. And Jesus is the healer of the brokenhearted. I'll tell you lots of stories as we go through that. Do you know divorce can do it? Take your soul back from anybody you're tied in with because you have let that become an idol to you if you've not taken that part back. If you've lost a loved one, even in death, take that part back. What good does it do for you to be broken? Does it do that person any good? No. Do some people care? No. See what I'm saying? So you get yourself back and get yourself together so you can be whole. Because that's what God wants you to be, is whole. That's what it talks about here when I talked about the idols of self-will, stubbornness. But you can have an idol of any one of the issues. You can have an idol out of a person, and you've disassociated towards whatever it was that happened. Okay, and I'll talk more about this with the breaking of the soul and the reintegrating of it. An injury to the mind or the soul is similar one in the body. Again, if it's hit with force, just like the body can break, the soul can fragment or break. When dealing with healing, the injury needs to be located, the cause discovered, and the treatment administered, including cleaning and properly maintaining, caring the wound. So if you go to a if you go to the ER because you've had this accident, they're going to locate where your problem is, and they are going to either set a bone or take you into surgery to try to put you back together, aren't they? Okay. Well, what about what happened to the soul? Nobody bothered putting that part back together, you see, because they don't know how to do it. The church should know how to do it, but we don't. But we should know how to do it. And Jesus heals that. We had a young man one time. I'm going to probably tell you some stories just to authenticate some of this. But we had a young man one time that came to our house. I actually had his brother and sister at Christian Life, and he was older, so I never had him. But he lived in another state, and he had issues with anger like you wouldn't believe. And he was at a point where his wife was ready to divorce him. Her parents, who absolutely did not believe in divorce, were ready to let her divorce him because they were afraid of his hurting her. And so finally he came to us and to get to ministry. So we spent an entire weekend with him. And this is back in the day when we really didn't know too much about it, but we were just learning, and so we were really trying to deal with it. And so when we talked with him, he and his wife had come with him, and she said, some days he'll act fine. The next day he acts like a little boy. Sometimes he acts like he's 8 years old. Sometimes he acts like he's 14-year-old. Sometimes he acts like he's a 3-year-old. She said, he acts like all these different people, and they couldn't figure him out. So we went and we started talking with him to find out what had gone on in his life. And there had been especially the divorce his parents went through. And as a little boy, he took all blame for the divorce. And when his mother and brother and sister were gone at a camp, and so he stayed home with Dad, and he knew Dad was going to leave, so he helped Dad pack all of his stuff because he was trying to keep everything as quiet and good as he could. So when the rest of the family came home, they blamed him. They were all angry at him because he had helped Dad pack. You see, he was maybe about 10, something like that. And he didn't understand. So when we went to pray into some of the areas, we visited a 10-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 14-year-old. And then all of a sudden, he said, well, I feel like there's a time when I was in college and I had this girlfriend and she broke up with me and it just shattered me. And so we prayed into that. And literally, while we were praying into that, he turned around, got angry at his wife. So she got up and moved over to the other side of the couch. We continued to call off the anger and all the break the soul ties with this person. And then prayed and asked the Holy Spirit to reintegrate that broken part and grow him up. When we got done with it, he looked over at his wife and he said, what are you doing over there? He had no recollection of that broken part, didn't, you know what that he'd gone into this rage. Well, when we got done, and it was the most glorious thing. It was like literally the Holy Spirit came into our house that weekend and sat in there. It was so supernatural. The presence of God was so strong. And do you know, to this day, they're married. He does not have any issues with anger anymore, and they have two children. All that changed that weekend with the Lord dealing with the brokenness in his life. You see, when I first started this ministry and people would come to me and tell me, they had more than one personality, or they had all this brokenness, I'd say, like, no, you don't. You just got demons. That's all you got. You just get rid of the demons and you'll be fine. And so I'd go to cast out all the demons, and we still had problems. And it's like, okay, I know this works, and I can see the demons leaving, so what's not right here, God? Okay? So I began to have to look at what some people had already told me about the brokenness and the fragments and the alter personalities, which I immediately, when I first started hearing about that, said, God, I do not even believe in this. So then one day I ministered to a woman who was dying, and we had prayed for her and had a miraculous recovery, but she could never get rid of her weakness. Went back up repeatedly, casting out spirits of weakness and infirmity. She went back to the doctor. They couldn't find the cancer, but there was like no cure for the horrific weakness she had in her body. She couldn't even go up and downstairs. So I'm at home, and I said to the Lord, okay, she called. She wanted some help. And I said, okay, God, what am I going to do? I don't know what to do with her. And the Lord said, she's fragmented. And I said, but God, I don't believe in that. And you know I don't believe in that. Because I didn't think that stuff happened. So God kept telling me to go deal with her. So I finally said, okay. You know, when the Lord speaks to you, you know his voice. Whether like you always want to listen to it or not. And I'm not saying I don't want to listen to God, but I'm just saying sometimes I'm like, okay, now is this me or is this you, God? You see what I'm saying? I don't do that anymore, but I used to. So anyway, went there to see her. And I had come across some teaching on this from Christian psychologists. So I'd read some stuff. Still didn't agree with it, but I had read about the disassociation, DID, you know, dissociated disorders, the breaking, the alters, all of that stuff. So I knew about it. I just figured it was psychology, and so I didn't accept it, okay, because it was worldly stuff. So I went to her house out of obedience to the Lord, and I tried to deal with it in the way I had read some of these books. And they said, tell that part to come forward so you can pray for it. So I called the part up, and I said, the part that holds the weakness, I want you to come forward in the name of Jesus. And nothing happened. So I'm thinking, okay. So I thought, well, I'm going to try this again. I mean, God, you only got so many chances to make this work. As if you don't know what we're doing, I sure don't know what we're doing. So I did it a second time. And the Holy Spirit told me what to ask this person. And I said, when did you come into existence? And she started to weep. And she said, when my husband put my head through the wall. There I had my broken person. So we prayed, had her forgive him, commanded unforgiveness and bitterness and then the weakness and all of that to come off of her, and then asked the Holy Spirit. In fact, I called her, like, I'll just say her name was Mary. It's not what it was, but Mary number two, okay? Because I had read they all have names too, so I thought, okay, this is working. I'm going to give it a name. You don't have to do that. That's not necessary. But I did that day anyway. So we called it Mary number two. And I asked the Holy Spirit to reintegrate her. And he did. And all the weakness left her. Just like that. Isn't that amazing? So I became a believer of some of this stuff as I had to deal with it. And then I saw, you know, as they say, the proof of the pudding's in the eating. So as I saw evidence of it actually really working. And when I started ministering to the people, one of the things that would be so frustrating to me was when I would go to do deliverance, and I knew deliverance worked because it worked on us, didn't it? And man, when we went through deliverance, we changed so much in our lives. So why weren't some of these, now a lot of the people we were praying for were changing, but that every now and then we'd get these that wouldn't get breakthrough. So that's when we began to seek the Lord, and that's when we had to open up our minds and our hearts to the fact brokenness is a real thing. And there's all sorts of scriptures that back that up. But I hadn't read any of those, or if I read them, I didn't catch on, you know? But we kept seeing that. And I'll share more things with you as we go. Many of you probably have brokenness that if you would deal with it, even while we're going through this in the next few weeks, would see, I guarantee, a change in your life. I'm going to tell you a story about myself. I'll probably tell you a lot of stories about myself. But one time, and this happened, I think, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. So it's not been really long. But all my life, I have felt like I was the youngest one always. If I was with people, I'd feel like I was the kid, you know, and the young one. And I could be with people who were younger than me. I still felt like I was younger than all of them. And I thought, this is so weird, because I knew I wasn't, but I felt that way. So I went home one day, I think I might have been teaching on this, and I said, God, why do I feel that way all the time? And I said to the Lord, do I have a broken part? And I said, well, Lord, if I do, Lord, I ask that you take that little girl and you reintegrate her and grow her up. And do you know I have not felt that way since that day? It was like, oh my goodness, you know? So I had been through all this deliverance. I'd been through healing where God had healed a whole lot of things from my past, but it was that one thing. And just by teaching it, even myself, I went to the Lord and I said, God, why do I feel that way? And I thought, is that what's going on with me? Am I broken in that area? And is that why? So some of you, if you've got even physical dysfunctions, it could be because there's some areas of brokenness you've not dealt with. Okay? You ask him. I'm not trying to diagnose you, by the way. I'm just saying because I deal with so many people that I know y'all got issues out there. Because we do. We all, Everybody needs to be delivered too. I'm sorry. If you're born in this world, you got generational junk, and you without sin can decide you don't have any demons. Okay? But if you've ever sinned and had patterns, okay. So you might have to face, in order to deal with these issues, you might have to face some painful memories or allow the Holy Spirit to retrace some of those things that have hurt you. Okay? And like I said before, it doesn't all come out of childhood. It can come out of adulthood. Normally, it started in childhood, and that vulnerability towards breaking was there. And the enemy has endeavored to set you up in relationships, even as an adult, that will control you and abuse you and not treat you right. Okay? So you can be in issues like that. But what we do because of the vulnerability is that we break. And then we just wonder, well, why do I feel this way? Or why don't I get this over here? And then you think, well, this is just me. And this is like why I'm like that. But like I said, I kept thinking, why do I keep feeling like I'm always the little one? And I wasn't. You know? And it because, so then I thought, I better check this out. And it was, you see? So we can have things that are going on in our lives that can possibly be dysfunctions. I'm going to share some things with you as we go too concerning my father who actually caused some of that in my life. Okay, some people stay in denial or they refuse to face their pains, but without facing it and dealing with it, you will not change, nor will you come out of the area of captivity, so to speak, that you're in. You will, I guarantee you, get worse, and that's true. If we don't deal with these things, we get worse. And then you pass them on to your generations. And let me tell you this, too. Even if your generations are growing up, it just takes one person in the family to release deliverance and freedom into that house. And it begins to have an outward effect on all of your children. Because you have put, it's almost like a domino effect and it starts breaking. And you don't see it all overnight. But boy, I tell you what, the more you get free, the stronger you become, the more sensitive to God you become, and the more you go in and can tear up the kingdom of darkness. Okay, we need to come to him in faith. Matthew 9:35 in the Message Bible says, he healed their diseased bodies, and he healed their bruised and hurt lives. Isn't that interesting? Made a differentiation. A lot of times the word lives is translated soul. In Ezekiel, where I read you that in Ezekiel, that is actually translated lives in some and soul in the other. The soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions, all right? So he said Jesus had healed their diseased bodies and he healed their bruised and hurt lives. Jesus sweat great drops of blood out of his brow. Blood was poured out from the crown of thorns for our mental and emotional healing. You are responsible for your healing, not me. I'm giving you information, then I expect you. Now, I ministered to someone. I have been ministering to somebody that has been through ritual abuse. And this person is amazing. She's just amazing. And I just really love her. And she's here tonight, so I just want to tell her that I love her. But she's had all sorts of issues. And she came up one day and she said to me, Bev, there's this little girl. And she said, I can't. All she wants to do is cry, you know. And I said to her, I said, well, and I was going to pray for her, and then I felt like the Holy Spirit said, no. He said, you tell her to go in and get that little broken part and bring it out, just like I did with that broken part I had, okay? So I told her, I said, no. I said, I feel like the Lord wants you to go do it. I said, you go in, and I'm talking to the core being. You know, that's what I'm talking, not the broken parts, that core. And so if it's my life and my brokenness, so to speak, then nobody's better in charge of that than me, all right? So she did what I told her to do, and she literally, when she did, she saw herself take that little girl by the hand and bring her to Jesus. I saw the same exact thing as she walked that little one out. The little one, she said, she climbed up on Jesus' lap. We prayed integration, and that part was dealt with. Isn't that awesome? Amen. And so she goes home now, and she does deal with that. Now, I'm still praying with her, but I'll tell you what, she's come so far that she can take charge of a lot of that healing on her own and recognize it. You know, I'm just so proud of her for that. He sweat blood from his brow for our mental and emotional healing, the healing of our soul. Your healing has been paid for, your mental, emotional healing. I don't care how broken you are. Now, let me say this. If you've been broken, and I don't care if it's through satanic ritual abuse, if it's through an abusive parent, if it's through being molested as a child, and I'm going to give you some statistics on that. They say if a child is molested before the age of between 5 and 7, they will have multiple breaks within them because of the abuse, especially sexual abuse. Sexual abuse is horrific on little children, and they'll disassociate and disassociate and disassociate. Okay. In that, if you've been abused in any way at all, you have the right to lay hold of your healing. It belongs to you just as much as by his stripes we were healed and made whole. All right? Now, there are certain things in my life, like, okay, when my son's bone was dead, that I was, like, really aggressive and adamant and angry at the devil for stealing from us. And so I aggressively demanded, not of God, demanded that healing. Okay, now, when you're going to demand something, who's your problem? God is not your problem, is he? Okay, so when you're demanding, we know we're telling the devil, get your hands off. But if you've been in any way broken, you have as much right as healing is the children's bread. That means it's your provision. Then you start taking it back. You start putting a demand. And just like I even said, you can. If you ain't got nobody else to help you, you and Jesus are enough. That's all you need. Okay? So you can go to God. You can start taking authority over some of these things. You can even, where you've got some brokenness, walk that part through deliverance and ask the Holy Spirit to reintegrate them and grow them up. Bring them back together, okay? And if a physical doctor could take my bone, and I didn't have a broken bone, but our bones, and set them and heal them, why couldn't Jesus take our soul? You know, we had a little boy one time. Our kids used to bike race, these dirt bikes, and then we had all these jumps. We had this little boy who came to our house one day. He was really awkward, and he did the jump. Oh, goodness. And he came back down, and he broke his arm right in two. I mean, the bone here came up out of the arm. Oh, my goodness. We couldn't get a hold of his parents. That was a horrible thing. We thought we were going to probably get sued, but we didn't. But hallelujah. Do you know you can take authority over that? But we didn't know that then. So anyway, if a doctor could take that severe of a break and put it back together, cast it, and it heal, why do we think Jesus cannot take the most severest cases and bring wholeness? Because he can, and he will, and he wants to. Amen? Whatever it is. Okay, let me see. When we have put much emphasis on the healing of the body, and we've ignored the healing of the soul, which often is in direct connection to the healing of the body. A lot of times when people cannot be healed physically, and doctors will tell you that today, it's because of issues in your life. It's fear. Okay? That was such a good teaching on fear. And you know what? If you have fear, you need to deal with those things. Fear causes acne. Fear causes all sorts of autoimmune diseases and disorders. There's other things that do too, but it brings about that stress. See, and so a lot of times till we deal with some of our inner turmoil and even sometimes the brokenness, like the lady I told you about, that we couldn't get the weakness out till we dealt with that broken person. And then when we did, she was healed of that, you know? Because why? Because that broken person was like, it was here and it was here. And we were praying directly to that part. And we needed to get that part in there and ask the Holy Spirit to bring it back into alignment. And it worked. Okay. The Word of God says that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. I just read that. We often say, just leave the past behind. But the past is not really the past if it continues to resurface in our life over and over and over. And some of you I minister to, and some of the things that happened to you a year ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, is still resurfacing. See, you have to take charge, my friend. You do. And say, I've had enough of this. When you get tired of certain woundednesses, certain wounds, woundednesses, I know that's not a word, certain things controlling your life, you'll get rid of them. You see what I'm saying? But until you do, you just babysit it. You just nurse it. You see, you just, well, that's all I'm going to say. Okay, so we need to leave the past, but if it keeps resurfacing, then we know it's not been dealt with, either consciously or subconsciously. Now, when you're dealing with a subconscious wound, we pray into the subconscious and the unconscious realm, where we literally go in and command repressed emotions to go, things that have been repressed. Now, I'm going to get into a thing here on the brain and how your body operates to literally do that, okay, because of trauma. It is not God's will for you to repress negative emotions, yet we do, okay? We don't process things correctly. So sometimes you have to literally pray into the subconscious and command things to come out of your subconscious, whatever, like repressed emotions and things that are hidden because you just kept pushing them down. And sometimes, even as children, people are denied the opportunity to express emotions. Some of you might know what I'm talking about, where your parents might have told you to shut up, quit your crying, grow up, shut your mouth. And so you needed to express it, but you were not allowed to express it. So when you were not allowed, you just pushed it down and pushed it down. And now today you get anxious, you get upset easily, you get angry. You see what I'm saying? It's because you push things down rather than deal with them. Well, so you need to let them come back up, but not get angry. Cast them out. Deal with them. Pray healing into those areas. And God will bring healing to you. If you can't get past things, right there is a sign to you that there needs to be some emotional healing there. Okay. The Holy Spirit has been waiting for us to wake up to the fact that He can and will heal our memories and mend the brokenness of our souls. There's always been the ministry of the Holy Spirit to heal the mind and the soul of trauma and deep character dysfunction. It is the Holy Spirit purging your past and removing the roots of dysfunction, and God wants to do that. You know, if God is going to have a church that walks in wholeness, you know, we are a church that should be walking victorious, mighty, in our authority, and yet we're so broken we can't somehow get it together to do it. You see, but when we start dealing with some of these things, you'll be amazed at how much stronger you become as a believer. This is not the work of psychologists or psychiatrists, but it is the work of the Holy Spirit. We as Christians, for the most part, have not consulted God for the healing of our past hurts and traumas. We have missed a major premise in dealing with the Holy Spirit. We have not recognized that the Holy Spirit can look backwards as well as forward. See, your whole life is right here, and the Holy Spirit can deal with the whole thing. Anything that happened to you as a child and anything that happens presently, He can go and visit the future for you, unless He gives you a word like prophecy to encourage you. Okay, the Holy Spirit knows where the pains are. God sent the Holy Spirit to heal the pains of our past so we can fulfill our destiny without being shackled by character dysfunctions and haunting memories. Trauma affects the whole person. Trauma is a side effect of events that happen to us, and there can be emotional traumas as well as physical traumas, okay? And the emotional traumas come out of the physical things that are usually done to us. Okay, trauma is a side effect of events that happen to us which are beyond our control, all right? Most things happen to people as children when they're not able to take, you know, and the devil specifically sets that up on purpose, like a child being violated, okay, that seemingly has no defense or abused in any way because they don't have an offense, being rejected, being abandoned, that type of stuff, because they can't change their situation. they have to deal with it, and they'll either like disassociate, go off, like fantasize rather than have to deal with it, and not realizing that they're actually in that disassociation breaking, you know. And so until, again, like I say, that's dealt with, there's going to be a dysfunction. And a lot of times you're just going to say, why can't I get this together? And that's probably why. You probably got some brokenness. A traumatic event can be anything from a road accident, falling downstairs, to sexual abuse, divorce, sudden receipt of bad news, death in a near loved one or of a child. None of us ever plan for such events. I know of young men or women seeing pornography at a young age is traumatic to the soul and can also have the same effects. And we deal with that all the time, where it goes back 5 years old, 10 years old, seeing things they should never have seen and how they cannot properly process that and the trauma and actually the damage it does to the soul. All right. There can be both short-term and long-term consequences of traumatic events. How we are affected by them depends on a wide range of factors, including the severity of what happened to you, the severity of the accident or the incident, the local circumstances, who was involved, our attitude towards who was involved, our own temperament, okay, because some people are more fragile than other people. Why is that? It's kind of, if you've got children, more than one, you know they all act different. They all have different issues, and they're both raised by the same parents. But why does one act this way and the other one act that way? It's because of the different nature that they have. You know, it's the different temperaments. It can be affected by a person's physical fitness, their resilience, or their emotional well-being, their upbringing, their age. An adult could probably handle some abuse more than a child. And that is in the case that the adult was not already broken and weakened from things that had already happened in the past. Okay. An incident which may have been very traumatic for one person could prove to be of little consequence to another. Okay. Medically speaking, a trauma is the physical damage that's incurred by an organ of the body through an injury. Yet, we find out more and more that the consequences of trauma are not limited only to the physical realm, and that parts of our being, the soul, can also, the emotions, be affected. God created man, spirit, soul, and body. So we are definitely affected in the whole person, all right? 1 Thessalonians 5:23 said, and Paul expresses, he said, and he says that we should be whole in all three areas. He prays, I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body, there you see the three, be preserved blameless as to the coming of the Lord. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. That means you're a spirit, you have mind, will, and emotions. That is why when you come to Christ, it involves your will. You make that decision in the soul is where you do. And you decide in the soul. In fact, as a believer, your biggest issues are out of your soul. And so when we deal with different things in our soul, if we can get that soul cleansed and get it healed, a lot of the issues that we deal with, even in the physical body, are taken care of, whether it's healing or lust or whatever, greed, okay? Let me read this. It is impossible for one part of our humanity to experience anything which the other parts are not also involved and affected by. That is why sex outside of marriage doesn't just affect the body, it affects the whole person. Because if you become one with someone you sleep with, you're not just a body. You have a spirit and a soul. You see what I'm saying? So the tie is much greater than you think it is. That's why one time, and I've told this story before, but one time we ministered to a young man who'd gotten a girl pregnant, who they were separated because of parents. And when we prayed for the young man, for the soul ties to be broken, the young man had it was just different. It wasn't a real strong one, but it was a seizure. And All we did was lead him through a prayer to break soul ties with this girl. But the girl, he'd gotten pregnant, had these same type of seizures, and he just replicated the seizure that she'd had. How did that get there? It passed through immorality. You see what I'm saying? We've seen that happen more than once, and it is. First time we saw that was like, oh my goodness. There's reasons God tells us not to be out sleeping around. Whoever you sleep with, you get all their stuff. Not just disease. Not just maybe HPV, herpes, but you might get their anger, you might get their fear. You see what I'm saying? Because spirits are also allowed to transfer in that. See, so why does God tell us that? Because he's a protecting God. Same way we would tell our children, don't do these things because they open you up. Okay, so maybe you've had multiple partners. What does that mean? You're just a sorry case that, you know? No, it means just deal with it. And God may lead you to deal individually with these people, the different ones, and break off, okay? We have, I think, I don't know if we got the prayers out there to break soul ties, but I'm gonna get them out there for you. And then you just let the Holy Spirit show you what you need to take care of and just do it. You don't need a deliverance minister to do that. You don't. You can do it. When we got delivered, you want to know who did most of our deliverance? We did. We didn't know anybody else to do it because there wasn't anybody else around here. So we did it, and we got free because that's all we could do, all right? You can do it. I challenge you to start dealing with some of these things instead of waiting just up here to get somebody to pray for you. Okay, let's see. I got so much stuff here to read to you. Okay, let me read this. Okay, in talking about shock and trauma. Shock and trauma go hand in hand, and shock will affect the nervous system, the central nervous system. Shock is a sudden, violent, or upsetting disturbance. It can be a condition of physical collapse or depression. Shock may set in after a severe trauma or severe injury or a severe emotional disturbance in your life. Okay, again, some of you know what I'm talking about. We had a woman that come to us one time. This was a real interesting one. She had had heart surgery, and it had been a number of years between her surgeries, but she had the pain in her heart still. She still couldn't get rid of the pain, and she was real concerned about it, so she came for prayer one day, and we commanded the trauma to come out that came in from the heart surgery, and all the pain left her, and she never had any more pain again. We've done that with all sorts of surgeries and seen people set free. We had a person who had back surgery, and then a number of months later, his daughter cut her finger, and he'd never had a problem seeing blood before, but that day he passed out on the floor. So where did that come in from, the trauma from the back surgery? When we prayed it, he didn't have any more problem with it. Now, that's different, but, you know, the devil doesn't care how he can look, he can access a place in. See, anytime we pray with somebody that's had surgery, we always call shock and trauma out. There's no way your body can get cut open and you not deal with some shock and trauma. Just the way it is, okay? Anyway, okay. Okay, a child that suffers from continual abuse will suffer both shock and trauma because it is such a perverse act to them. And you know, the word perverse means that which is done contrary to what's right. So perverse does not mean just sexual. If you're a stubborn, rebellious person, that's a perverse spirit. If you're doing what you shouldn't be doing, you're doing what's contrary to what's correct. That's perversion. You know, so we just kind of put it under sexual stuff, but it's not. All right. These things weaken and cause a person to be vulnerable and open to the enemy's attack. He attacks through our weaknesses, usually our outer self is a reflection of what's going on in the inside, the inner self, and sometimes it's impossible, again, like I said, for the body to be fully healed until we deal with what's on the inside. I'm just going to read you a little bit more. I have a whole bunch of stuff on how the soul, I have to get into that next week, but this is really, really interesting on the soul, how it can be, what the Word of God says about our soul. I got it here somewhere. Okay, there are over, I think, I'm probably going to have to go to my other book in here, over 1,500 places, I believe, that talks about your soul in the Bible. Let me get my exact statistic. Oh, nope. 560 times. The word soul is used in the Bible approximately 560 times. The Hebrew word is nephesh. The Greek word is psuche. There are more than 1,500 verses in the Bible describing the condition of the soul. The generally accepted definition of the soul is compressed of the mind, emotions, the intellect, the will. It is the seat of your personality. It is our unique personhood. It's where we perceive, reflect, feel, desire, choose. It's where our will is at to make decisions. And then, what I was talking about here, I got it in here too, but the soul then, the soul can be cleaved to. You can cleave to something. Someone can cleave to your soul. Your soul can be tied to another person through sexual relationships. It is through marriage, which would be a good thing, you know. It can be, your soul could be cleaved to someone through control also. You should never, never, never allow another human being to control your life. Absolutely no. It's witchcraft. God did not design anybody to control another person. So if you're doing that, you need to repent and stop. You don't tell everybody, if you got a spouse, what they should do, what they can do, what they shouldn't do, where they can go, when they can go. Let them have a life. You see what I'm saying? You'd be shocked how people do that. But they do. And it's wrong. Okay. A person can be cleaved through strong attachments. The scriptures there, I'm going to go over them fast. Genesis 34, 2 through 3. 1 Kings 11, 2. Joshua 23, verse 12 and 13. The soul can be redeemed and atoned for and ransomed. The soul can be bound by swearing an oath. And that's Numbers 30, verse 2 through 13. You can look up the word redeemed and get some of them. The soul can be knitted with another, 1 Samuel 18, 1. The soul can be dried away, Numbers 11, 6. The soul can be cursed by the words of the mouth, Job 31, 10. The soul can be spoiled or humbled, Psalm 35, 12 and 13. The soul can pant or thirst for God, or even other things. But, you know, I love that scripture. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after you. I love that scripture. The soul can be restored. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He restoreth my soul. Okay. Those of you who are bound and who know that you have brokenness, start claiming that. Declare. Affirm the word of God. Lord, you, my soul is being restored. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that my soul is being restored. The soul can be cast down and bound, bowed down, Psalm 42. The soul can be hunted. People can lie in wait to capture and snatch the soul. And I read you the one in Ezekiel, but Psalm 59:3 and Psalm 71:10 and Proverbs 6:26. I did a teaching. I'm going to go into the rest of these next week. But I did a teaching on captivity a few years ago, and I was shocked at how many places in the Bible it talks about literally our lives being, our souls being in a pit, being in a dungeon, being in a cave, locked up in a prison, you know? And we are held captive. And David especially talks of that over and over. And he says that my soul that is in prison, Lord, release me that I might worship you. Now, if you have a hard time worshiping God, there could be an area of captivity in your life. You see, the devil, if Jesus came to set the captives free, must be we can get captive. Must be we can be in captivity, right? Or why would he come to do that? Let me read you one last scripture and we're going to quit. I'm going to read it to you. Well, I don't know. I think it's probably amplified, but I make a out of the Message Bible too. Isaiah 61, 1 says, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed and qualified me. It probably is all of the Message. To preach the gospel of the good news to the meek, the poor, and the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted. Now this is Jesus talking. Remember, your heart, brokenhearted, is the mind, the will, the emotions, the intellect, your personality. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captives and to the opening of the prisons. Again, so we can be in a prison, self-made sometimes, to open the prisons and the eyes of those who are bound. Luke 4:18 says, he has sent me to release the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth delivered those who are oppressed, downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. Another word for that in the Message Bible says, he has sent me to set free those who are burdened and battered. I thought that was really interesting, battered. You know, so if you feel like your life has just been battered by outside forces, by people, Jesus came to set you free from that. He came to heal you. He came to restore you. And then he said to proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord's salvation. That means he has come to proclaim it is time for you to be free. It is time for you to be whole. It is time for you to be liberated. It is time for you to come out of any areas of brokenness. It is time for you to come into wholeness. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. I've got lots more. We're going to do the rest of this over the next 2 weeks. And as we do, I'm going to share things that maybe repetition in your life that happened of one particular incident and how that has literally imprinted in your soul certain behaviors and stuff and how to break out of those things, how to break out of areas literally of fear. My biggest fear is doing what I'm doing right now tonight. Getting up in front of people and ministering to them. I was paranoid with that. But I used to even pass out. That was horrible. I did. When I was little and I would teach at, or not teach at school, but when I'd have to get up and do a problem on the board, I'd pass out. I would embarrass myself all the time. Well, one time I was teaching a women's group and I did the same thing. You know, and that's embarrassing when you're an adult and do that and you're supposed to be ministering to people. But I would be so afraid of what other people thought of me when I'd minister till I got free. But you see how the enemy wanted to rob me of the call of God on my life. You see? So that's what he does. He wants to hold us in a place so we don't have the liberty to be what God's called us to be. Whatever it is, he wants us bound so we won't be a success. You were made, we sang this song about a month ago maybe, you were made to thrive. You were made to be successful. You weren't made to be bruised and crushed and broken down and battered. That's not who God made you to be. He made us to be whole. And we can be whole. Sometimes when I get ready to teach this, I almost think like, well, I don't think anybody needs this anymore. Because I have really come into such a place of wholeness. I mean, I'm not saying I've arrived, because God will probably find something to tell me about. But I've come so far from what I used to be. And it's just doing this type of stuff. Me, like I said to you earlier, if I had an opportunity to be wherever there was where I could get teaching, you couldn't keep me away. Because I was determined to get everything God had for me according to the word. Because I knew if it was in the word, I could have it. And if I didn't know how to get it between God and me and whoever was teaching or whoever would help me, I was going to learn. And that's how I've learned a lot of things over the years, is just getting out there and doing them. And we have seen multitudes of people healed. Just totally, I mean, it's been amazing. So we're going to quit. And I want you to go home. And I want you to start praying to the Lord for God to show you areas of brokenness. Or if you've got dysfunctions in your life, if you're dealing with issues in your life you can't get resolved, you ask the Lord concerning those things and find out why they're there. And he might not give you this big explanation, but he can just tell you it's because of this or because of that. Just like I said, when I went to him and said, God, why do I always feel like the young one? And then I thought, you know, I didn't get a voice. It was just a thought. Like, maybe what I'm teaching is me. And it was. That simple. I just decided to try it. And it worked. I was broken. You know, and I had some major things that happened when I was a little girl. And I felt those things had been resolved. And the things that the Holy Spirit had dealt with me in the very beginning of my walk with the Lord. But where that part came in, why she felt that way, like what it was is a little girl locked up that was not set free. And that's why she always felt that way. That's why I always felt that way. But when she got released, I didn't feel that way anymore. Where that she came from, I don't know. But I didn't have to know. I just had to deal with that brokenness. You see what I'm saying? We don't need to know everything. Sometimes when we do deliverance, we'll just say, you that causes that, come out of that person in the name of Jesus. And it goes. You know, we don't know what it is. Well, you that provokes that behavior, come out in the name of Jesus. And it goes. Deliverance isn't hard. It really is not hard, okay? So let me pray over you. And like I say, the last time we did this, when we got ready to pray over the people, it was like the Holy Spirit came down and hovered in this place. And it was glorious. I even quit talking. The reason I quit talking is, you know what? When the Holy Ghost moves, we don't have words. It's just like, shut your mouth. You cannot do anything with this. Just let him go. And he went, it was amazing, going to people individually. And there's nobody that can heal you like he can. Amen. Nobody. If I get one thing to you more than anything else, is get your focus on Jesus. Not any of the altar workers, not any pastor. He is the healer, the deliverer, the healer of the brokenhearted. We're not. We just pray for you. But almost every healing I have ever gotten was between me and God. When I got saved, I didn't go to an altar. I went home. It was between me and God. And I got delivered the same night. And I've told you that. 2.5 packs of cigarettes, got delivered just like that. Did I know I was going to get delivered of cigarettes? No. But I just went to Jesus. And he took care of a whole lot of things that night. You see what I'm saying? Go to Jesus. Please start seeking the Lord, not man. Amen. And if you don't, you say, well, I don't feel like I can, then ask him to help you do it. If you say, well, I don't want to, then say, Lord, help me want to. Right. He'll help your want to too. Right. He does. Everything. Every area of your life. Good, bad, deficit. God is there to bring it up to where it needs to be. Amen. You just got to ask. That's it. That's it. So, amen. Okay, so let me pray over you, and we're going to dismiss you, and we're not going to pray for you tonight because I want you to take some accountability. We will pray. But I feel like the Holy Spirit has been telling me, people, you come to me. He's the healer. Not Bev Tucker, not Evelyn Gibson, not Vicki Brown, not Lou Tucker. Not Brian and Lauren. We are not healers. Not Gail and Cindy Bridges. It's him. Not Jim and Sarah. It's him. It's Jesus. Amen. So Lord Jesus, we exalt you in this place tonight. God, I pray, God, Holy Spirit, just touch your people. God, I pray that any place that they have idols, that you will expose those idols. And I believe a lot of them have been exposed tonight, Lord. And I speak death to those idols right now in the name of Jesus. And I call these people into alignment right now, God, in the name of Jesus. I speak to the worry and the fear and all this focus on their problems and things that have happened. God, and we speak to those things and we command them to be removed and go into the sea in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask, God, that you would reveal to them things that are specific in their lives to deal with over the next few weeks, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And God, I don't care how serious the brokenness is, Jesus, you're the healer of it. And it's nothing to you. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing, because there's people in here right now, you think, well, I'm too big of a mess. No, you're not. He said, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible to him that believes. And all we got to do is come to Jesus. So, Father, I pray for every single person. I pray for even those that feel like they have no hope. I pray that they will have hope tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. Bless them, bless their homes, bless their families, bless their children, bless their health, and bless their finances. Bless every area of their lives, God. And Lord, we receive it. We thank you, God, that you have given us favor You have freely forgiven us. We are free of condemnation. God, you've taken everything for us. And Jesus, we exalt you in our lives individually. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Next week, I'll go into a little bit more about how the soul can actually fragment and give you the scriptures. When I studied that, I was amazed that I didn't know there was that many different things. But it helped you identify some stuff, okay? So be blessed.